What a game. I mean, really, what a game. Saints are 12-2. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly, but it was a win. I was at the airport, actually a couple of hours ago, when the Saints arrived, talking to fans, and we'll talk about all of that. We'll talk about what you want to say about the Saints' win over the Panthers last night on Monday Night Football. And also later, I want to talk about whether or not you would donate money to a GoFundMe account that would be set up to help President Trump pay for the wall. If the Democrats don't approve the funding, would you donate money to a GoFundMe account? And also, there's a dragon Christmas display in Mandeville that's causing some controversy because some people think it's demonic or it's cultish because the dragons are red and green, Christmas colors. We're going to get to all of that this afternoon. And remember, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. First up on the show, I want to talk to, this is the music director and the guitar player for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli. Al, welcome to our show this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today. How are you guys doing?
Great. So Trans-Siberian Orchestra tomorrow night in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I've been in this business for so long. I went last year for the very first time.
And what did you think last year for the very first time?
I didn't know what to expect. I was absolutely, I was blown away.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
I mean, it was crazy AF. I mean, it was wild. How would you describe it? I expected something different. I didn't expect it to be so so rock oriented, and it seemed like there was kind of a goth tone to it last year.
Well, it's absolutely, first of all, it's like the biggest rock and roll arena touring band on the planet. I mean, so you were there. And, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say we have more pyro, more lasers, more moving trusses, video screens, hydraulics than anybody else ever in an arena. But it's a rock band. It's an orchestra. It's a Broadway presentation of a beautifully written story by our founder, Paul O'Neill. I mean, it's basically everything in all styles of music that's good. You know, I don't think that there's a genre or anything that's not represented over the course of 2 hours and 15 minutes.
And Al, I was so impressed with the broad range of demographics. I mean, there were senior citizens there. There were people there with their kids. There were teenagers and young adults who were there, millennials who were there just on their own. I mean, this is a multi-generational event.
It is. Thank you for saying that. It is the craziest thing ever. I mean, sometimes I look in the audience and I just can't get over, you know, the other day there was like a 6-month-old baby, you know, on her mom's lap who was sitting next to her mother, you know, I mean, 3 generations of family members, 2 to 92 is what we say most of the time, you know, it reaches everybody. Paul O'Neill's stories are just the universal and everybody can relate to them and everybody kind of gets it and they just have a great time and they keep coming back year after year.
It's a Christmas theme, but you know, it seems to me that a lot of people could step back and just see it as a celebration, and you don't have to be a Christian, you don't have to be celebrating the specific reason for Christmas to enjoy this seasonal phenomenon.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Paul story is just the short overview is that it's about a teenage runaway. Okay, the rock opera we're performing tomorrow evening again is The Ghost of Christmas Eve. Young girl runs away from home. Her parents are flipping out. She's tired. She's scared. She's lonely. She just wants to go home. You know, they don't remember what the fight was about. She misses her mom and dad. Her mom and dad miss her, right? That's the basic part of the story. Everybody, what I didn't realize, everybody in the arena could relate because everybody misses somebody, especially around the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, whether your mom or dad or grandparents left this earth you know, there's an empty seat at the dinner table, or if you just haven't spoken to a buddy for 20 years for no good reason, no bad reason, but everybody misses somebody. And I think that's what really people come to celebrate is the fact that you're not alone in, you know, in your inner heart or in your soul. You know, everybody misses somebody. It's okay to do that. And if there's any way to change that, then do so.
Al, I'd have to say that Trans-Siberian Orchestra just has really incredible singers, musicians, and stage production.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am so proud of everybody on that stage. They're the greatest bunch of players and singers on the planet. There's 112 men and women on our crew that we travel with that are the best of the best. There's 20 tractor trailers out back. There's 12 buses. I mean, this has grown up over 20 years of touring now. We've been doing this and 24 years of recording. you know, from infancy to young adulthood, I kind of watched it grow up and went, oh my God, I'm so proud of it and everybody involved.
Any surprises this year?
Always. Always. Different than last year, you know, the production got bigger again. So if you were, you know, put back on your heels last year, this year, you know, tomorrow night, it'll even be more. It's ridiculous what we've been able to do in an arena rock setting.
And I can't wait to see it. Al Petrone.
Are you going to join us again tomorrow?
Yeah, I will be there tomorrow night.
Good. I look forward to seeing you. And listen, I hope you enjoy it more than you did last year, because, you know, that is the impetus of why we do this, is to make it bigger and better than last year. I don't ever want anybody to turn around and go, I seen it last year, was, you know, it's the same as last year.
No. Well, that's a great incentive. And if I feel that way, I will talk about it on the show after I see it tomorrow night. But I would recommend that I'm sure there's a few tickets still on sale, but not many. It usually sells out here in New Orleans, or at least it did last year.
Sells out. Yeah, because it did last year, I never assume it's going to this year. But I do know that they are opening up more seats. Just, you know, the demand is really great, which makes me, very happy and very proud that whoever was there last year is coming back. And they're bringing, you know, first-timers with them, you know. And I love watching people's expressions change, because like you had said earlier, you know, you didn't really know what to expect. You thought you were going to see one thing, and then boom, it's on.
It just knocked me over. And for somebody who's been to concerts all his career and been to many, many, many great shows, I got to tell you, if you have a chance to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra tomorrow night, Smoothie King Center, go see it. It is an event. It is a phenomenon. And I think you'll love it.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I can hear the excitement in your voice, and that means everything to me.
Al Petrone, music director, guitarist for TSO. Thank you for being with us, and good luck on stage tomorrow night.
God bless, brother. Next time.
All right. And this is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. This is the Christmas song that you hear most from TSO. Christmas Eve in Sarajevo. All right, when we come back, let's get into the Saints. And I told you that today we would be playing the song Bad Day. So You Had a Bad Day by Daniel Powder. And I said we'd either be playing it for the Saints or we'll play it for Cam Newton. Well, I'm proud to tell you that when we come out of this break, we're going to dedicate that song to Cam Newton. I'm Scoot. The Saints won. The Saints are 12-2, best record in the NFL. How are you feeling today? We'll talk about it when we come back. Our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. It feels so good to dedicate this to Cam Newton, as we started calling him yesterday, Cammy Newton. Hey, he didn't seem too happy after the game, did he? Lack of sportsmanship? Yeah, you know, see, this is the problem with being like Cam Newton. Yeah, you're great. But the problem is you build yourself up so much that you don't know how to lose. Gee, I mean, does that remind you of anybody else we know? You just don't know how to lose? I mean, you got to learn how to lose in life. And you got to be a good loser. You know, I mean, you don't have to be. That's your choice. But it says a lot about character. So I respect Cam Newton's prowess on the football field. I respect his athletic ability. What I don't respect is the ego that doesn't allow him to be humble when it's time to be humble. When it's time to be gracious, be gracious. And I just don't see that. Hey, what do you want to say after the Saints won last night? It wasn't pretty. You know, in the video last night, live, yeah, I was up at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning going out to the, I mean, does that make me crazy? I mean, I'm crazy. Okay, well, I think of it this way. I was crazy for being out there at the airport last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, I'm working. I'm covering it for WWL Radio, Facebook, and for the radio station. And the comments that you hear are from the audio we did last night. So I was there working. What about the other people that were just there out of choice? I mean, these fans are insane. They're crazy. But, I mean, you got to love them. I mean, there was a decent crowd for that arrival last night. It was just after 2 o'clock when the Saints plane landed. And there were people out there. Now, if you couldn't be out there and you want to experience the Saints arriving, just go to our website. I'm sorry, go to our Facebook page. Go to WWL Radio on Facebook and check out the live video. And it shows you what it's like to be there. Now, last night, and I pointed this out in the video, last night, because of the cooler weather, a lot of the windows had condensation on them, so you really couldn't see all of the players. And not everybody knows what cars they drive. You could see some of them, but some of their windows were just kind of fogged up a little bit. But it's still great to be there. And just think of it this way. Here's a football team that's arriving at 2 o'clock in the morning. And there are fans there to greet them. It wasn't the prettiest victory. It was ugly. But it was a victory. And the Saints now are one game away from securing home field advantage. And at 12-2, they have the best record in the NFL. I mean, this is impressive. But should we be concerned with the offense? The offense has not been producing like it once did. At this point in the season, should we be concerned about the offense? Or could it be that Sean Payton is really holding a lot back because he wants to just do enough to win, and then they'll have surprises in the playoffs? I mean, is that possible? I mean, football goes, you know, both ways. Sometimes the offense lights it up, and sometimes the defense just shuts somebody down. And our defense did the job last night. And there were some sketchy moments. I mean, there were some moments when, you know, it didn't seem as if the game was going to turn out the way we wanted it to turn out, but it did. And they shut Cam down. All right, if you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, hello, Scoot. I really enjoyed SOTA at halftime. Scoot on the air, that's my Facebook page. It was fun sharing comments. Yeah, I went on it at halftime and then right at the end of the game. And I do a lot of this on my Facebook page. It's really an extension of the show here on WWL. And you can find me at SOTA, Scoot, on the air. And become a friend and sign up and join me there. Here's a comment that says, I think you're crazy, but I'm not sure meeting the plane is a real indicator. Well, okay, you've got a point there. I mean, I will admit that I'm crazy, but meeting the plane doesn't necessarily make me crazy. I mean, I'm even if I didn't do that, I still would have to classify myself probably as crazy. You know that that 4th and 2, and the defense got totally surprised by the halfback pass from McCaffrey to the tight end, touchdown Panthers. That was embarrassing. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. Hopefully the Saints learn from that. But there were moments like that, and then there were just some great moments. You know, Breeze didn't seem like he was always communicating perfectly with the receivers. I mean, and you know, the other thing is, let's give the Panthers credit because they put up a good defensive fight. I mean, that was a good defensive battle. But didn't you just love to see Cam Newton kind of bothered by the Saints defense? Also, I haven't heard the latest because I went home last night and, I went home this morning and took a nap and then woke up at the usual time and went down a little bit, slept a little bit more because I'd gotten up to do that at 2. But I haven't heard the latest on Max Unger. That would be a loss, but, you know, the Saints did put it together. I'm a little concerned about the offense, and I heard Bobby say that same thing on the point after the game. But I'm not sure we really need to worry. What a test it's going to be. What a game it's going to be Sunday in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the big nationwide televised game, the late afternoon game. Sunday afternoon, the Saints and the Steelers. That is going to be the game that America is going to be watching. From Mandeville, Chris, you're on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot.
Hey, Chris.
What a defensive game, huh?
It was.
Yeah, look, I give my hats off to the defense. I'm pretty sure Breeze and company would get back to work and figure out what's going on with the offense. I think they would get together. Listen, Scoot, I got a question. I don't know if you feel the same way I do, but I think Cam Newton is just a titty baby. Look at it after the Saints won. You know, Drew Breeze went up to Cam Newton and tried to shake his hand, and Cam Newton, he just, you know, just brush Breeze off, like push them away. And I mean,
it's not classy. And this is what bothers me about, look, I respect Cam Newton's talent, but I don't respect somebody. I mean, you can have a great ego and you back it up with talent, but you also have to learn to be humble when it's time to be humble and admit that you lost. Debbie, you're on WWL.
Yes, Scoot. I was calling because I thought it was interesting what you said about Sean Payton holding back, because that thought has come into my mind several times, and I thought, oh, I must be crazy. But now you're saying it, so I'm not the only one.
Well, I you know, Debbie, there was just such a change in the Saints offense from the Dallas game, the Tampa Bay game, and the Carolina game last night. And I just have a hard time believing that the wheels have fallen off to this point. However, you know, that game was so close last night, you got to be careful about how many secrets you hold, because you've got to win these games. And then in the playoffs, you got to show it all in every game, because if you lose one game, you're out. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens against the Steelers. And I don't even like the idea that the Saints don't have to beat the Steelers. I don't like that idea. I don't want the Saints thinking about it. I don't think the fans should be thinking about it. But, yeah, we could lose to the Steelers and beat the Panthers at home in the final game and still, you know, be in that in the great position. But, you know, let's not even think about it. It shouldn't come down to the Panthers game. We should beat the Steelers next weekend.
Right. I would rather do that. But I'm worried. I'm very worried about that game Sunday night. I'm worried about that. I hope we can pull it out, but yeah. We'll see. We'll see what Sean Payton shows this week. Right.
Debbie, I appreciate the call. I've got some comments from Sean Payton and Drew Brees coming up here in just a few minutes. And from Metairie, Ronald, welcome to WWL.
Yes. How you doing?
It's good. I got time for a quick comment because I've got news in a minute.
Okay. Quick comment is this. We play on turf. We're a turf team.
Yeah.
We were on dirt, and the footing wasn't the best because you don't catch tomorrow and tackle him in the open field like those linebackers. And then you have trick plays. They saw the Saints had 9 men up there, the linebacker crowding. They're going to do anything to win at this time of the game and at this time of the season. So trick plays are part of it.
Well, you know,
they
yeah, I mean, they are. And look, the Saints did not have to win last night. Carolina had to win, and they lost. They had to win, and they were on the national platform of Monday Night Football at home in Carolina, and they blew it. Here's a text that says, offense started slowing down after Teron Armstead went out. Yeah, and it's not going to be good if Max Unger is not there. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. And that's Queen. Thank God it's Christmas. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 18th. Really nice afternoon. A little rain is coming our way and cooling off by the weekend. And next week is a Christmas, so I hope you're on schedule with your shopping and everything that you have to do. Really sad news to hear, breaking just a few minutes ago, that Penny Marshall, Laverne on Laverne and Shirley, has passed away at the age of 75 due to complications from diabetes. You know, so many of us will remember her mainly as Laverne on Laverne and Shirley, but I do remember her. I forget the role she played, but she played the part of somebody on The Odd Couple. And I remember seeing that. Was it her brother or her dad? It must have been her brother. Her older brother was Gary Marshall, the director. I mean, Gary Marshall was just one of the most prolific producers and directors in Hollywood. He starred in a few shows, but I mean, he was behind so many shows. Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days. And I mean, I remember him even appearing on the Dick Van Dyke Show years ago, but he was just a huge, huge Hollywood figure. Penny Marshall, sorry to hear, passed away at the age of 75. Okay, so I was at the airport a couple of hours ago, 3 o'clock this morning, and, you know, thinking about it from the player standpoint, think about the players arriving. And, again, you can see the video. It was live last night, but it's on our Facebook page, WWL Radio, and it gives you a sense of what it's like. It's not that spectacular. It's the Saints arriving. It's their cars and their trucks and them coming by a group of fans. And because it was just after 2 a.m. this morning, there weren't a lot of people. But when you think about the hour, there were a lot of people. I mean, maybe 100 or so, maybe a little over 100. And think about how that feels to the Saints. Here's a team coming back after 2 o'clock in the morning, and there are fans there to greet them. And some of the players do have their cell phones out, and they're taking video of the fans greeting them. And that's got to feel great. So when the Saints and when players and former players and current players talk about how great the fans are, they're also talking about that. They're not just talking about the fans that show up in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. They're not just talking about those people. They're also talking about those special fans that show up at the airport. And it was a chilly night last night. But, you know, it's fun to be there. And again, you can kind of experience that vicariously by watching the video. It's not that it's that special, but there is something really special about the fact that people are there greeting the Saints. And you know, I've lived in other cities with professional teams, and I don't remember that in any other city. And if it happened, I didn't know about it. Here is here's a text that says, Gary Marshall was Penny's dad. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Here's another text. Rob Reiner is her husband. Oh, wait a minute. Penny Marshall and Rob Reiner were married? That's a little confusing to me. But anyway, maybe that did happen. Here is a text. Did you notice Cam Newton changed his broken broom shoes at halftime? No, I didn't. I didn't notice that. Wow, that's an astute observation. Because he had the broken broom. Because apparently somebody allegedly sent him a broom to talk about sweeping the Saints, sweeping the Panthers. And maybe he went and changed them. I did not notice that. I'm getting some texts, though, that Cam Newton did shake hands with Drew Brees. To be honest with you, I was setting up to go live on my Facebook page, so I didn't see that part of the end of the game. So we're going to go ahead and say that Cam Newton did shake hands with Drew Brees. I want to set the record straight on that. It still doesn't mean that Cam Newton's not a poor sport, but if he did shake his hand, then that's an admirable thing, and I want to set the record straight on that. If he didn't and we find out differently, well, we'll talk about that. Here's an update on our Blue Water Foods poll question. Should Saints fans be concerned with the offense at this point in the season? 63% say yes. 37% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And we'll continue to talk about the Saints this hour and also on and off throughout the show. Coming up next hour, I want to ask you, would you donate money to a GoFundMe account set up to help President Trump pay for the wall? If the Democrats don't pay for the wall, a Fox News host wanted to know, or not a Fox News host, a Fox News contributor wanted to know, where's the GoFundMe account to help President Trump fund the wall? Would you donate money? And also, is it fair to call a comedy show like Saturday Night Live a Democrat spin machine? All of that coming up in the next hour. If you want to join us with your comments, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Sad day on our pop culture calendar. It was on this day, December 18th, back in 1997. Comedian Chris Farley was found dead in his apartment in Chicago of a cocaine and morphine overdose. Chris Farley was only 33. And that brings back memories of John Belushi and so many people who we have lost because of drugs. So I'm getting some more text here. And this is why I asked the question in the first place, because the math didn't really work out for me, because Gary Marshall, who was just such a prolific Hollywood producer and director and creator of shows, he wasn't that much older than Penny Marshall. So I'm getting more texts now that say that Gary Marshall was Penny Marshall's brother. And we're also reacting to the news that Penny Marshall, Laverne on Laverne and Shirley, has passed away. Cheryl in New Orleans, you're on WWL.
Yes, I was just going to confirm that, but Rob Reiner was Penny Marshall's first husband. They were married like in the 70s when he was on All in the Family.
Uh-huh.
And they divorced and he married someone else. But okay. He was, in fact, married to Penny Marshall.
Okay, well, I appreciate that information.
Okay, that's all.
All right, Cheryl, thank you very much. We're also talking about the Saints and the big win. They didn't win by a lot. It certainly wasn't a blowout, and there were people yesterday predicting it was going to be a blowout. And yeah, I know you get excited and you say, it's got to be a blowout. Oh, it's far from it. 12-9, quite a defensive battle, as have been the last few games. Cowboys, Bucks, and Panthers have all been more defensive battles for the Saints, but the defense rose to the occasion. Got a text here that says, I'll take our Cam over Carolina's Cam any day. Oh, here's a text that says, regarding the handshake, I'm not a Cam fan, but the camera only picked up the last part as they, Cam and Drew, were walking away. If the angle was behind Drew, it would have appeared that he was walking away too. I don't know the facts, but what they showed is deceiving. So, all right, it's my understanding that Cam Newton did shake hands. it was Drew Brees. It doesn't mean that he hasn't been a poor sport in other ways. And, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to talk to your kids in particular, and maybe talk to yourself about it as well. You know, if you brag about how great you are, if you think you're the best, even if you are, you know, you also have to be willing to admit that at times you're not the best. And you're just exposed as a phony or a shallow person if you just brag about the stuff that you do that's great and don't acknowledge when things don't go right. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Should Saints fans be concerned with the offense at this point in the season? Right now, it's 50-50. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Here's a text that says, I think Saints fans should be concerned about the offense, defense, coaching decisions, and the referees. You know, I don't know that there's a wholesale need for concern at this point, but what's going on with the offense? Now, I know that Terron Armstead has been down, and now Max Unger, you know, left the game, what, in the first quarter. That's kind of scary, and hopefully he's going to be okay. And the offensive line has a lot to do with the success of the part of the offense that gets the most attention, the running and the passing. I can't help but think that maybe still Sean Payton is keeping things low and slow until the playoffs. But he might have to pull out a few tricks to beat Pittsburgh Sunday. What a game that's going to be. I'm Scoot, and hang on. We'll be right back with your comments on WWL. Good afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we are reacting to the Saints' victory over the Carolina Panthers last night on Monday Night Football. Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but who cares? They won. But is there reason to be concerned about the offense? I am a little bit, and I mentioned that on my Facebook page last night. And then after that, I tuned into The Point After on WWL and heard Bobby Hebert express really the same concerns. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Should Saints fans be concerned about the offense at this point in the season? 54% say no, and 46% say yes. Give us your opinion at WWL.com. From Avondale, Antoinette, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. I just wanted to make a comment about the Saints.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about the offense because, if you know, the best game that we played in the last 4 weeks was against Atlanta, and that was at home. And then after that, we had 3 weeks of road games. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not too worried because, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, we only lost one road game. Road games are not easy. And I'm just not concerned because I feel like once we get home and get that home field advantage going, I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah, and I certainly hope we get that. I mean, it's certainly within our reach, and that's why we need to grab it and hold on to it. And when you look at the Saints' record in the playoffs on the road, under Sean Payton, Drew Brees, 5-0 in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, 1-5 on the road. So it does make a big difference. And I've heard so many people on the national level say, and former players say, you don't want to play in the dome. And from a decibel standpoint, we may not be the loudest stadium technically, but we are loud in a way that players don't want to play here. And I think one of the reasons why maybe decibel-wise we're not technically the loudest is because the Superdome was built for so many different things, including concerts. And so it's my understanding that there are acoustical tiles or there are acoustical effects in there that make it impossible for us to go beyond a certain point in terms of the decibel level. But I've been in there when it's been really loud, so have many of you, and it's loud. And when players say people don't want to play there, you know, you got to realize how important that is. You know, I guess I have a little concern for the Saints offense, but I'm not really, really concerned. I feel good. And I mean, what a game it's going to be this weekend. Sunday, the late game, the nationally televised game that America's going to be watching, the Saints and the Steelers. I mean, that is a great, great matchup because you've got really the really ugly, ugly Pittsburgh Steelers, and then you've got the Saints. And so I think it's a great matchup. And the Steelers play one kind of football. We play another kind of football. Although, you know, Mark Ingram last night, the best word I can use to describe him last night, the guy was a bull. I mean, he was like a bull I mean, he even dragged Kinkley, who, by the way, is phenomenal. He dragged Luke Kinkley, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 yards. That was beautiful to see. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. I'm Scoot, and we'll come back, and we've got a lot more to talk about. It's Tuesday afternoon on WWL.